struggle with being truly thankful today? Elizabeth Elliot says, "I'm one who is having to learn this lesson of gratitude." I think we can all relate to what Elizabeth is saying. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of author and teacher Elizabeth Elliot.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and overburdened, and I will give you rest. Put on my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, and yes, this week I'm using a different scripture verse from the ones that I've used for most of the time. These are from Matthew 11, 28 to 30. And I'm talking with you this week about husbands speaking out. I remember when we had our dear friend Frank Murray, a man in his 80s, to breakfast one time, not very long, I think about a year after he had married his second wife. His first wife had been married, I think, to him for pretty close to 50 years. And after she died, he married again. And as we were sitting at the breakfast table, I asked him, "Frank, I get so many questions about this whole question of husbands being the head of the house and wives having to submit. It's a matter that confuses people and makes them very angry, and they want to know what I think. And of course, I know that what I think is not worth anything. If God has something to say about it, tell me what you would say." And he sat there for a minute in silence and kind of gazed out the window, and he said, "Well, you know, I've never really thought much about it." And I said, "Really? And you've been married to two different women, and this question has never arisen?" "Well," he said, "now that you mention it, I do remember one incident when I had only been married a short time to Lois." That was his first wife. He said, "We were discussing a decision that had to be made, and we had a disagreement. But she said to me, 'Frank, you've got to get it right.'" He said, "By that, she was indicating to me that she realized that I was the one who was going to have to make the final decision. And that sobered me because I realized that she might suffer if I made the wrong one. The decision was going to affect both of us, and it was my responsibility because I had been assigned to be the head of my wife to make that decision." Now let me read to you the passage from which he takes that principle. Ephesians 5, verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way," exactly the same way as Christ loves the church, "in this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies." Frank was making note of the fact that his decision had to be based on concern for Lois, not for himself. He was the head. He was assigned by God to a divine office. And my husband Lars and I have seen that lived out in his life with Lois and again with his wife Arlene. He's an exemplary husband, father, grandfather, and we would consider him a spiritual father. We among hundreds of people who would say that about Frank Murray. Now, I promised yesterday that I was going to read to you Elizabeth Hanford's letter to a lady who had taken issue with the book that she wrote called Me, Obey Him. She says, "Thank you so much for your thoughtful letter to Elizabeth Elliot concerning my book, Me, Obey Him. She forwarded it to me and asked for my comments, and I'm glad to share them with you and her. You believe firmly that the Bible teaches that women are to submit to their husbands as to the Lord. And you, quote, do not believe our Lord would ever ask us to murder, commit adultery, violate our conscience, or have abortions, period, unquote. I also believe exactly that. says Elizabeth Hanford. In fact, the thrust of the book is that you will not have to violate other moral commands of God while obeying your husband. Notice that I left out one phrase from your letter, quote, violate our conscience, unquote, because I believe conscience is not always a safe guide. A weaker brother might have a conscience easily wounded about something God says is not wrong. And that passage is Romans 14. She goes on to say, incidentally, I do not believe that a woman is to express an opinion only if she is asked. The context of that statement was in connection with a woman who has too often expressed an opinion, who is now putting herself back under her husband's authority. Certainly, God wants a woman to use her mind and heart and spiritual discernment. When God said, it's not good for a man to be alone, that implied lacks that only a woman could meet. And it takes all the wisdom, scriptural understanding, and insights of the man and his wife in order to do the work of God as he intended. I'm sorry that was not made plain in that one statement. I put that statement in parenthesis so we can go back to the first statement. God does not ever expect his children to break his moral law in order to obey another law. You say she takes many passages out of context to prove her points. I do so wish that you would tell me where that is true, because God knows I want to handle his holy word with absolute honesty and truthfulness. I have a horror of using God's word deceitfully. There are many scriptures that would indicate that God does not give two conflicting commands impossible to obey. I want to repeat that. God does not give two conflicting commands impossible to obey. I do not believe that the command to obey your husband would keep you from honoring your parents. Honor and obedience are not the same. And God clearly releases a woman from obeying her father when she marries, so that she can obey her husband. Look up Numbers chapter 5 and Genesis 2, verse 24, as indications of this. But she certainly can still honor her father and mother. When thinking about whether some of God's commands conflict, consider the impact of these verses. Matthew 5:19, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Luke 11:24, woe to you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and you pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. James 4:17, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. God is certainly not the author or the causer of sin. We're told in James 1:13-14, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. The wonderful thing about our holy God, Susan, says Elizabeth Hanford as she continues her letter, the wonderful thing about our holy God is that he knows how weak and frail we are, how prone to sin, how muddled in our thinking. And he has taken upon himself the task of making us what we ought to be, giving us wisdom so that we can find a way to do what he's commanded us to do without violating another command of his. I'm reminded again of Matthew 7:11, which says that parents don't play dirty tricks on their children, and our dear Heavenly Father certainly won't. Cordially yours, Elizabeth Hanford. She's the author of that very remarkable little book which has changed so many lives, called Me, Obey Him. I'm so grateful for that book. Now, many women felt that I had not emphasized nearly strongly enough the clear command to husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Well, here it is, as clearly and as strongly as I can read it from Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. And here's a letter from a happy husband. Let me start off by telling you how much I appreciate your ministry. Being one of your male listeners, I find your program very encouraging and practical, as does my wife. I'm usually able to listen to the program as I drive to work. I love our Lord with all my heart, and I love my beautiful wife. Many times on your program, I hear of large families, your daughter Valerie's, for example, and how they are able to maintain some sense of order throughout the day. However, regardless of how few or how many children, if any, there are in the home, I appreciate dearly the work my wife does as a homemaker, and applaud the other homemakers in the world. I find that most men I work with, and many men within the church, do not share this idea with me. And that's fine, too. I think many are missing the blessing of having their wife at home. There's always plenty of things that need to be tended to in our home, as well as volunteer work, Bible studies, ladies' fellowship, vacation Bible schools, exercises, etc. Since my wife is the 10th child of 17 children, all being from the same parents, that in itself can be a chore. The Lord has allowed me to be a good provider for her. She's a fantastic homemaker. We are both active members in a Bible-believing church. I'm not perfect in any sense or being boastful, but I try to let her know how special she is to me, how grateful I am to the Lord for bringing us together. I enjoy spending time with just my wife and thankful for our wonderful marriage. Well, thank God for that letter, Bob, and how few letters like that I get. So some of you men who are happy husbands, how about writing a letter to your wife and telling her how happy you are?
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.